Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. Rex Road off today. He will be back on Monday. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping, outdoor patios, landscaping design, lawn maintenance, and more. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Chase McCabe will be with us at 8:30. We'll get his thoughts on what he saw from the Tennessee Titans last night. Welcoming more of your thoughts. Lots of thoughts rolling in throughout the show this morning, so keep them coming at 615-737-1025 on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We have talked about Cam Ward a lot so far on the show. We will continue to do that throughout the program here today. I do want to touch briefly on another quarterback that we saw last night play for the Tennessee Titans.
Trubisky?
Fine.
Hendon Hooker?
First off, in all seriousness, I was glad to see him get in the game.
Yeah.
I think there was 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and I was looking around. I was like, all right, do I really need to watch the rest of this, or can I just freaking go to bed now? Because, frankly, I was tired of watching Will Levis play quarterback. And I was like, well, I need to stay because, you know, Hooker's got his helmet on. We'll see what he looks like. And he came in there, and I think he went 2 of 3 and had a fumbled snap. So,
yep.
See what that looks like. Trubisky, basically, they did with Trubisky what I was hoping they would do with Trubisky, which is basically like, hey, get in there for like a half second and then get out of there because we know what you are. So I was glad to see the Titans coaching staff handle it that way. I mean, Will Levis got a lot of run last night. He got a lot of playing time in this game last night. He finishes 3 of 8 for 42 yards. He got sacked 3 times. We mentioned Cam Ward's quarterback rating of 56.6 last night, which is not good. Will Levis was 55.2, so ended up with a worse quarterback rating than Ward in the game. And it looked to me basically the same way that Will Levis has always looked to me, which is just at times completely out of control and just inaccurate with the ball. Like, he had a play, he ran, I think it was Restrepo, that ran kind of a breaking in route over the middle of the field, and he was open. Like, by NFL standards, he's open. If Levis puts the ball where the ball needs to go, it's a first down, and you're moving the ball down the field. And, I mean, he's open by a good couple of steps, which is pretty open in the NFL. Oh, and Levis threw the ball 3 yards behind him.
I mean, it's rare to get open,
yeah,
right, in the NFL. Like, you know, for open in the NFL, it's, you know, yeah, it's tight.
I mean, Levis missed him, like threw it behind him by 3 yards, and I was just like, oh, my God. Like, what are we doing here? So for the, you know, the people out there that were hoping that Levis would have good performances to get some sort of trade value, we're off to a rough start on that one last night, Ian. It did not go well. And look, I'll be totally honest with you. And, again, I don't want to pile on the guy because we're talking about a third-string quarterback at this point. But I guess I will pile on a little bit. You know, I just kept, while watching Levis play last night, replaying the comments in my head of, hey, I know that there are not 32 quarterbacks in this league that are better than me. And, again, I have, I guess, no problem with him saying that. I think there's a confidence that you need to have playing quarterback. Frankly, I guess there's some sort of, you know, some level of delusion you need to have playing quarterback in the NFL. But one of the thoughts that came to my mind last night as I'm watching Will Levis out there was, is he even like an NFL quarterback? Like, I know from a physical skill set standpoint, like, he's got a
traits,
big arm.
Physicality.
He's a, you know, a good-sized guy.
Yep, athletic.
I guess they started the game off with him last night trying to make him like Lamar Jackson because he kept doing quarterback draws and all this other stuff. And I was like, oh, is that what we're doing?
Dable action there for you.
Yeah. So, like,
Jackson Dart.
I get it from a physical tool standpoint. Like, there's a reason he went in the second round. There's a reason that – so, yes, he is talented enough to be an NFL player. But, like, I'm just watching him last night, and I'm like, it doesn't feel like he's figured anything out from the last time that we saw him play. And, you know, some of it may just be that he can't. Like, it's, you know, some people get to the NFL and they're just not accurate enough and they don't see it quickly enough and they don't know where to go with the football, you know, in the right amount of time, where it just doesn't work out. And who knows? We may be talking about that with Cam Ward in the not-too-distant future. But I looked at Levis last night and I was just like, well, if you had any hope that there was going to be some performance out of him in the preseason to get somebody to send you like a seventh round pick, I just don't know. Like, I don't. I watched him play last night and did not walk away, Ian, thinking to myself, yeah, somebody's going to end up trading for that later in the preseason.
That's the problem. You know, if you're going to be traded for in this, people are going to be looking for backup quarterback options, right?
And yeah, not a number three.
Not a number three. No one's going to trade away a pick for a number three guy who's going to maybe be on the practice squad. They can, you know, you can find guys like that for free. You don't need to trade away a pick. And Levis as a backup is just not an appealing option from a lot of teams, yeah. Right? Especially considering how inconsistent he's been, how much work he needs to do, all the ups and downs that he has, and then you throw into the fact that he'd be switching teams, getting it, changing systems, changing coaches, getting used to all that, and depending on, you know, who your quarterback is, Levis needs practice reps. He needs to practice. And as a backup, you just don't get those practice reps, and it's hard to develop. And at his age, you know, he's not super young anymore, you know? And in order for that to develop like that, he needs to practice and get some reps. And it's just hard to do throughout the week to be somebody's backup.
It's hard to do. And look.
And teams, you know, they don't want a YOLO guy as the backup.
No, they don't. That's
right?
The thing.
Yeah, you need a safe guy who can go in there and not screw it up. Not somebody who's going to go in there and play YOLO ball all the time.
Well, and you know, I guess you could view this part of it from both sides. Like, on the one hand, he was playing with third stringers last night. And the offensive line sucked.
He got sacked a couple times.
When you start to go down the depth chart of the offensive line for the Titans, and you're moving into the next realm of it, it's not good.
Yeah.
So, like, the starting offensive line did well last night. When you start to move into the reserves and the backups, it's just not a great situation. So there were a couple of plays where he snapped the ball and just was immediately under pressure. Like, you know, Singleton got absolutely bowled over one time in pass protection.
Yep.
And Levis got killed on that one. So on the one hand, you're playing with third stringers and you just don't have the best supporting cast around you. But on the other hand, Ian, like, you're Will Levis. You're a former starting quarterback in this league. At one point, you were like the golden boy of the franchise and was going to be the next franchise quarterback, and you're playing against third stringers too.
That is one point. You know, it's not like you're going up against the starters. So you would like to see a little bit more in there. But unfortunately, this is what we've seen from Levis. The inconsistencies, the ups and downs, and it might just be who
just
he,
what
is.
He is. Yeah,
he's. Like, I don't want to call him like a spaz, because that's not quite right and quite correct and not nice, but he plays a little spazzy at times, you know, whether it's the rollout falling on his tush, or it's, you know, just dropping back and seeing pressure and kind of scrambling both ways and then just running into the pressure and taking off and running recklessly, you know. I don't know. It's not a great look.
Well, you know, like, it didn't take long either. Like, when he missed that throw to Restrepo, I was like, oh, my God. Like, Cam missed a bunch of throws last night too, so I'm not trying to single out Levis. But, you know, there's going to be so many limited opportunities for Levis, I think, moving forward here, that when you get your chance, like, you know, preseason games, and this won't be the last one, like, he's going to play a lot.
Like, he'll probably play more.
He'll probably play more
as the preseason goes. Yeah, I thought he would almost play more. I'm surprised they played Cam Warden, the starters, as much as they did, honestly.
Yeah, like, he got probably a quarter and a half of
pretty
good
much
football.
Exactly what you said.
So,
yeah.
Like, he's probably going to get that again moving forward. But, like, at this point, I'm just going to be surprised if he goes out there and just lights it up. Even though, to what we were talking about, he should. Like, right? Like, you're going up against third stringers, and you can get both sides of the coin on that. I get it. I came away last night when watching Will Levis play and just saying, okay, so he's not gotten any better.
Yeah,
like, the reports in training camp are basically it's not gone very well for him.
Yep.
And then you watch him play the game last night, and it's just like, okay, so he's not any better at
all. Same. Yeah, big arm, questionable accuracy at times, questionable decision making, all over the place. I mean, those pretty much track is what we've seen so far from Levis. I guess we didn't see any, like, killer backbreaking turnovers.
No meme-worthy plays last night.
Yeah, so I guess that's a start. But, you know, baby steps, that's about as basement level as you can start. Hey, don't make a meme-worthy play in the preseason. How about that? Let's start there.
Yeah.
That's not exactly what you want to get or, you know, your best goal here for a player you're trying to maybe get something out of.
We got a lot of thoughts on the Titans to get to on our text line. We welcome your phone calls as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Today, the Nashville Sounds take on Indianapolis at First Horizon Park. First pitch at 6:35. Catch all the action on 94.9 The Fan. Presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, Maple Street Biscuit Company, and Social Cantina. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. One texter says, Levis is correct. There's not 32 quarterbacks better than him. There's 64 more. This is from David from Paris. Another texter says, it's AB from Clarksville. Levis is right. There's not 32 better. It's more like 65 or 70 out there. So Levis is just catching some strays on the text line right now. People are already talking, Ian, about tanking for Arch Manning.
We've got, take long.
Which quarterback in college football should I be closely watching this year? Things are going well on the text line in the aftermath of the first preseason game.
Only one preseason game in. How about that? Yep.
One game.
Let's just not lose to the Jets.
Oh, boy. Yeah. That one's going to be interesting. Very interesting.
If our text line's like this after a preseason game, let's give it a couple weeks here in the regular season before we go too crazy.
Again, we mentioned earlier, you know, Carmona starting on the offensive line. I thought he looked pretty good. You know, the starting offensive line did pretty well. I mean, I thought for the most part Ward had a clean pocket. He just missed on some throws. But they ran the ball well with the starting offensive line. I don't know how much stock I put into it, given the fact that they're going up basically against like second and third stringers from San Francisco. But it's better than the alternative of going up against second and third stringers from San Francisco and not doing well. So good on the Titans starting offensive line for doing that. You know, Oladejo made some plays. That was good to see. I thought Falk looked pretty good in a very limited, you know, kind of sample size there. So that was good to see. You know, the linebackers, Cody Barden was kind of all over the place. Anthony Hill made a play or two out there. So it was good
Cedric
to see.
Cedric Gray, too.
Yeah, Cedric Gray. I mean, it's good to see.
He looked all right. Yep.
Some of those guys, you know, making some plays out there and doing well on that front. You know, the rotation part of this, and I don't know that we got a great feel for it last night, but I am interested to see when the regular season comes around, like, what exactly the rotation is going to settle into on the defensive line, because clearly that's something Sala believes in. So what's that going to look like? How do they utilize Jeffrey Simmons in that? Like Sala's talked about, he's probably going to play a little bit less. Like he's going to keep him fresher for pass rushing downs this year. And again, he didn't get a great feel of that last night. But I do wonder, like, how much depth are they going to have on the defensive front where Sala feels comfortable doing that? And does the plan on that change from the start of the regular season to as you're going throughout the season? Like, does it become clear that, you know, maybe in the early part of the season you're not going through as much of a rotation while you're waiting on, you know, Oladejo to continue to grow, Falk to step into a role there? You know, I do think the interior of their defensive line has a chance to be pretty good, and you can probably go, you know, a pretty decent rotation from the jump there. But I don't know that we got a great feel for that last night in the preseason game.
No, I think your plan there makes sense. Early on, you'd like to see, you know, maybe it does take some time for Femi to Oladejo to kind of fit into the system and Falk to get comfortable in the system. Jacob Martin, I guess, didn't play, right? Because he tweaked his knee in the joint practice, so he was out.
Well, by the way, Jalen Harrell hurt his knee last night too, and I guess he's getting an MRI today, so hopefully nothing serious there.
Yeah, hopefully nothing too serious, and he can stay in the rotation. But, I mean, because Jacob Martin is technically listed as the starter on the first unofficial depth chart, and, you know, does Falk end up being the starter on one side? I thought Jermaine Johnson looked pretty good.
I thought he looked pretty good, yeah.
So I think, you know, you want to start him a lot. I think Jermaine Johnson, obviously, is going to play a lot and start every game. JFM, Franklin Myers in the middle, and then Simmons. And, you know, on that other end, do you go right with Falk if Martin's still banged up? Or if Martin is healthy, does he start the season? And how they kind of rotate that in Is Femi more of a first and second down player? And then you bring in Jermaine Johnson some on third down. So I think there's some ways to kind of figure that stuff out. But I think your plan there makes sense early on. And I don't think we got a full, you know, read of the system kind of, you know, early on yesterday. Yep. As far as last night goes, especially with Simmons playing such limited snaps and then John Franklin Myers didn't even play. So I think that makes sense. And I think that would be a good plan to start as far as the rotation goes. I want to see your good guys out there, even though I get why Saleh likes to switch it up. But yep. I don't know. I think that's a solid plan. I think we could see a decent amount of them early on before Femi and Falk kind of get more comfortable.
Ed on the text line says, based on what Saleh said this offseason about starting from scratch with Ward and seeing last night, should we be viewing this as a rookie season for Ward? I will not be. I mean, look, he played 17 games last year in the league. There needs to be some progression here, right? And look, trust me, I get it. The previous coaching staff was clearly in so far over their head that it's a problem. So I totally recognize that. I feel better about this coaching staff. I certainly feel better about this offensive coordinator. But, I mean, there is some value, in, or at least there should be, in Cam Ward getting the playing time that he got a season ago. And, again, like some of the issues last night, like people are talking about the intentional grounding on the text line right now. Like that can't happen. Like that is a situation. Forget all the accuracy stuff for a minute that we've talked about. Like the intentional grounding play is a play last night where you have to know in your head if you're him. Like he held on to the ball forever. And there's just got to be a better internal clock of, all right, it's just clearly not there on this play. And you have to live to fight for another down. And, I mean, it's just a total – it's a total drive killer when you allow something like that to happen. And as we said to begin the show, like he waited so long with the ball on that play that he's lucky he didn't get it taken away from him. And yeah, we talked about the fumbling issues that he had last year. I mean, that one was very close to being a fumble. Like he basically just lost it as he was going forward with the ball. And yeah, I think he had it long enough to definitely be an incomplete pass, but it's close, man. Like when it first happened, and even on the broadcast, they're like, I mean, the officials didn't even blow the whistle dead until about 6 seconds after the ball hit the ground. So it looked like they weren't even sure.
Yeah. And when, you know, he was dropping back so far, but he went straight back, you know, and in that situation to avoid the grounding, you got to at least go one way or the other so you can get out of the tackle box and avoid the grounding.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was a lack of awareness or something he thought he saw who maybe was about to flash open and it didn't happen. And I don't know, but you don't want to see the big negative plays like that because, like you said, those are drive killers. They were able to get some of the yardage back on a Wandale Robinson little slant, but it was still third and over 10.
Yeah, you know? And those are the things that can't happen. Like those are the things that, you know, from playing last year, you need to have learned by now. Like, hey, look, nobody's perfect at it. I mean, you're going to see high-level quarterbacks in the NFL make some stupid plays every now and then. But, like, those have got to be the plays that you weed out if you're Cam Ward. And, again, you know, whether or not he's a successful quarterback is basically going to come down to if he becomes more accurate. Like, he just can't have some of these misses that we're seeing out there. But he's just, you know, Mike on the text line is talking about moving, you know, the MO of moving backwards. Like, he's got to cut that out. Like, the intentional grounding is a play last night that you just can't have.
Yeah, he went way too far back.
Way too far and held on way too long
last night. Yeah, you can't do that. Although, you know, and what's tricky about him and the way he, you know, likes to extend the plays, I wish he was just a little bit more faster foot
speed.
Yeah,
and I think we saw that again last night. Yeah, like that play where he got out of the pocket and ended across the line of scrimmage and tried to run
to the sideline, didn't quite get there in time.
Caught, and he doesn't have that straight line speed. He can be elusive,
but he doesn't even have that Mahomes wiggle.
No,
right?
No,
like
no.
Mahomes can do that, and he can do a little wiggle and a little shimmy and get himself some extra time. I don't really see that from Ward.
Yeah. One texter says, Cam doesn't look anything like what a number one pick should look like, and he hasn't since he got here. I'd trade for Baker Mayfield today and cut our losses. Backup from San Francisco looked much closer to a first-round pick than Cam did. And again, like we're talking, you know, I'm not hitching my wagon to Curtis Rourke when it comes to like what a future in the NFL is going to look like. So maybe a little bit extreme there. But yeah, like it's, as we've said throughout the show, it's totally fair if you're a Titans fan to be disappointed with Ward's first showing of the preseason based on what we saw last night. Did not go very well in the passing game. Now, there was another number one overall pick at quarterback who got in the action last night around the NFL, and things went pretty well for him. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Keep up with training camp with 102.5 The Game for the latest updates, player interviews, and more as you get prepped for the upcoming football season. Coverage of training camp presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants, Parma Tractor and Equipment, Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery, and Tri-State Water, Power, and Air. We have been talking a lot today about a number one overall pick at quarterback for the Tennessee Titans and his performance last night. Ian, there was another number one overall pick at quarterback that saw his first NFL action last night in the preseason, and that is Fernando Mendoza. He got in the game. He played four drives for the Raiders last night, 10 of 16, 97 yards, through a touchdown pass. I didn't know this. He is apparently the first number one overall pick to throw a touchdown pass in his preseason debut, a very specific stat, since Baker Mayfield in 2018. So that is good.
That's a good bit of gap of time there.
That's a good bit of gap of time, and it's almost a decade. So I found that to be pretty interesting. This comes the same day where the Athletic, Michael Silver, put out a story about basically what happens when you put Fernando Mendoza, who, as we know, kind of an interesting cat, put him into Sin City. And he was asked about, you know, being 22 years old and having all this money and, you know, how you avoid the temptation to go over to the Las Vegas Strip.
Sure, it's tempting.
And he said, quote, "I've been there once or twice, but I haven't really experienced the Strip. It's like a boogeyman. A lot of people talk about the Strip like you don't want to go there. It's like when you're a kid, you're trick-or-treating, and there's the haunted house. You're not trying to go over there," was the quote that Fernando Mendoza had. So he wants to make sure that he's, you know, all about football. He's getting into the playbook, and we're not seeing him over there at the casino table.
I saw something like, "My girlfriend is my playbook."
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Something like that.
Like he's ain't worried about all that. Called it the boogeyman. And like when you're trick-or-treating, it's a haunted house. You don't want to go over there. So Fernando Mendoza avoiding the Strip in Las Vegas and yesterday delivering a 10 of 16 performance, 97 yards, and a touchdown. I did, in all seriousness, I watched some clips from him playing yesterday. Made a couple really nice throws in that game.
Not too bad. Cousins got the start, and Cousins threw a touchdown to a tight end.
Yep.
And then Mendoza threw a touchdown. I think it was Besh, however you say his last name.
I believe
name. That's
correct, yes.
It was a short little pass, but it looked like one that he would throw in college, a nice little read. It was a quick one right to the end zone. Pretty accurate, though. He made a couple of accurate throws from what I saw. Some thread in the needle once or twice. Overall, I think his decision-making looked okay. No turnovers. So I'd say as a debut, that's got to be a solid start. For Mendoza.
Yeah.
It's hard to root against the kid, given his personality and how fun he seems.
It's going to be interesting to see how they handle that. Like, you know, first off, what does Kirk Cousins have left in the tank as a starter here? And then, you know, at what point? Because I'd assume it's coming at some point this year. Like, I would be surprised if they make it through the entire season and Mendoza doesn't start at some point. And,
yeah.
And I'm talking even beyond just like Kirk Cousins injury related or anything. Like just in general, I don't think they're going to be very good. And at some point, I think the temptation of having your number one overall quarterback on the bench is going to be too much. And, you know, whether it's game six, whether it's game 10, whatever it is, I think you're going to find Mendoza in there at some point. But I'm interested to see how that goes. But I mean, it wasn't great or anything, but it was a solid debut. From Fernando Mendoza.
Yeah, I would think he'd be the starter sooner than later, given the situation. You know, first overall pick.
Yep.
Cousins' lack of mobility these days. You know, their receiving core is not so great with the Raiders. He'll be throwing to Brock Bowers a lot, I think, and Ashton Jeanty. Be interesting to see how the skill position players kind of shape up for them. But, I mean, if you're the Raiders, I think you have to say success so far, preseason game one for Mendoza. I don't think you can be too down on that.
Justin from Greenbrier says, I don't want to overreact to last night. Pretty much everything else looked decent. Defense, offensive line, running game, even special teams wasn't too bad. But outside of that first drive, Ward looked like dog water. I mean, I wouldn't say everything was fine. I mean, again, we've talked about the secondary. I don't think the secondary was very good last night for the Titans. So you're a little worried about that. Caleb says, I want to make the excuses of the first game and the timing was off and all that. But, man, the passing game just looked horrid last night. I mean, I guess we could probably sum up the text line today of, I don't know that panic is the right word, but some strong caution from Titans fans here of, oh boy, what did we just watch last night?
Yeah, caution I think is a fair word. Panic I would say is a little much, but there's some worriness kind of creeping in, you know. It's preseason week one, so try not to be too worried. Watching some highlights up here, though, you know who did look really, I mean, Jeremiah Love, he looks big.
Yeah, man.
He is a big kid. Yeah, I saw some of these highlights with the Cardinals.
Yeah.
I was like, man, he looks like a big guy. He's running and looking tall and looking, I don't know. We'll see how that goes, but just something that kind of creeped into my head here as we're talking around the league last night.
He got a pretty good run. I mean, 11 carries, 58 yards for Jeremiah Love last night, the 5.3 per carry. I mean, there were six games last night in the NFL. I mean, Anthony Richardson got in there for the Colts, from what I could tell, didn't look very good. I think he ended up 11 of 14, 145, threw a pick in the game. He did run around a little bit, so he scored a touchdown running the ball, but threw a pick in the game for the Colts last night. So you talk about somebody else that
looking,
I mean,
for
we
a new
talked
spot.
About Levis looking for a new spot. I mean, Richardson, you're talking about a former number four overall pick in the draft, and nobody has called about that yet, so we'll see what that looks like. I mean, Drew Aller in Pittsburgh, who just got drafted, looked really good last night for the Steelers. Now, he was playing, you know, at that point, I think Mason Rudolph and Will Howard had already played for the Steelers. So you're talking about, you know, third and fourth stringers at that time. But he looked pretty good for Pittsburgh last night. So some decent performances around the league last night. The Chargers won 27-7. Against Houston, my guy Davis Mills did not look all that great.
No, not so great.
But Trey Lance, I mean, you never know what you're going to get from that guy in the preseason. 12 of 20, 164, threw a pick last night. He also ran for 27 yards. Trey Lance, one of the more interesting preseason players out there.
Yeah, he seems to always play a lot in the preseason, at least. And he's got some skills, right? And so when you're not game planning and it's just kind of one-on-one with some backups, as a good athlete, he still flashes. So you can kind of see why. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see where he ends up. Richardson, too, he's kind of in that same. Does anyone really want to make him as your backup? Like, he doesn't really fit a whole lot of systems as far as a backup goes, you know? You got to cater your offense a lot around him. Maybe you could pull a Malik Willis Packers kind of thing.
Maybe.
If you're LaFleur, you know, not necessarily the Packers this year, but some kind of, you know, theory behind what LaFleur did with Willis and the package you might have as a backup for a couple of games and what that could look like.
Well, I would love to know, like, we talk about, you know, people hear about Levis and, you know, Kuharski has reported nobody's really even called about Levis. I would love to know what the Colts would want for Richardson. Like, what exactly would you be looking for in return for Richardson? Because, I mean, it is a little bit different. You are talking about a number four overall pick, right? I mean, it's a little bit different. But it also goes to show you, and you can find examples on both sides of this all throughout the NFL, but it goes to show you that, like, physical tools aren't everything, right? Like, Levis has got plenty of physical tools. Anthony Richardson's got about as many physical tools as you could think of in the NFL. I mean, his combine numbers were just ridiculous, which is why he went where he went, where he got drafted. But it's all about putting it together. I mean, Anthony Richardson, you know, I don't know if he's ever going to get another opportunity to start in the NFL. He's only 24 years old, so that part of it is still kind of amazing that it feels like he's been around as long as he has, but he's only 24. I mean, he talked about last night how he doesn't think he played particularly well in the preseason opener, so we'll see what happens on that front. But a lot of interesting quarterback situations with former, you know, relatively high picks that are just kind of floating in the wind right now. I mean, we didn't even bring up J.J. McCarthy in that whole discussion, but what's going to happen with him moving forward?
I mean, that situation in general is very interesting. You know, you would think Kevin O'Connell, you're going to give up after, on J.J. McCarthy after, like, such a short time to bring in Kyler?
They must think that he's just terrible. Like, almost like irredeemable terrible.
I wonder,
like,
if that was actually a competition at all. It doesn't seem.
I don't think so.
It doesn't sound like it. It's hard to find a lot of people that say it actually was a true competition, which means at the end of the season, you're already bringing in Kyler Murray knowing you want him to be your starter. I don't know. That'll be interesting. It's McCarthy in particular, because he's flashed some.
Yeah.
But he's got the skills and the physical talent, all the physical talent and skills that you would need also. But he, for whatever reason, maybe he's not super accurate or can't put it together. I don't know. That is an interesting situation with him for sure.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. More of your thoughts to get to on the Titans. We will do the Rob rant coming up next as well. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
I think there are situations that every now and then just a good old brawl could fix.
I mean, I probably could have taken him.
Rex Road finally gets something done.
Oh, well, thank you for telling me how I felt, Paul.
Didn't this guy just say he was one of the 32 best quarterbacks in the league and he can't roll out to the right and stay on his feet out there? What's going on?
Oh, they better not take Levis.
Drake May's probably better than Will Levis.
You owe the fans an apology.
Losing's really not in my vocabulary.
And Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was pretty good. I booed the Beatles.
It is time for the Rob rant here on the program. Served by the Wine Cellar in Hendersonville. Great spot. Taking your thoughts to 615-737-1025. We will continue the conversation on the Titans. Look, it was a good night last night for special teams, so I have not been critical of anything that's gone on. They did do – I want to get to this quickly, though. They did do two things special teams-wise last night, Ian, that even for a preseason game – about sent me over the edge.
Okay.
It was, you know, it was a really good night for Joey Sly. He made 3 field goals of 50-plus yards, so good for him. So, like, I'm not trying to sit here and tear him down. But a couple of things happened in the game last night on special teams that had me almost literally screaming at the TV. Joey Sly kicking the ball off out of bounds drove me nuts. You're just automatically placing them at the 40-yard line. That should not happen. Stop kicking the ball out of bounds. I know that there's now the landing zone and – all these different stupid things with the kickoff that we're trying to keep up with. But that drove me nuts. And Chim Dike calling a fair catch on the 5. I was like, what are you doing? Why are you calling a fair catch on the 5-yard line?
Yeah, maybe let that one bounce, huh?
I mean, it used to be, where you would basically, as a punt returner, put your feet on the 10-yard line, and if you had to back up beyond that, well, you just let that thing go.
KJ Osborne did – same thing at like the 7.
I know. And so, like, look, punters have gotten really good, so I get that. Like, they punt it really high now, and there are situations where, you know, if let's say you have to back up to the 8, sometimes you have to make the fair catch, because if you don't, they're definitely going to down it inside the 5 before it gets in the end zone with how good the punters have gotten. I would say, though, if you have to drift all the way back to the 5, maybe just let that thing go and take your chances. Like, what's the difference between being at the 5 and being at the 2? Right? I mean, just let that thing go and hope that you get a weird bounce of the oblong football and it goes in the end zone and you're starting at the 20 rather than starting at the 5. But when he caught that fair catch on, like, and it was the 5, it could have been like the 4. And I was like, what are you doing? Stop doing that. Drove me nuts last night. It's a very odd thing to complain about. I get that, given everything that happened last night. But that really almost set me off when he fair caught that ball on the 5-yard line.
Maybe we can hope that it was just like a preseason thing here. Hey, I haven't caught a punt yet in a real game. Let me at least get, you know, some of the...
I'm going to assume it's that.
Get some of the rust off. I'm out here probably only going to receive one of these punts, right? And then I'll get pulled. If you're DK, that's probably what you're thinking. Let's just go out there, knock some rust off, make the fair catch. No one's going to hit me. We'll see if I can make the catch on the punt. You know, this is a practice. This is preseason. This is practice for everybody.
That's fine. I'm hoping it's that.
Don't do that
in the regular season.
Yeah.
If he catches a fair catches the ball on the 5 in the regular season, I'm going to lose my mind the next day on the show. I don't care if they win 40-7. It drove me nuts last night.
And then, so I guess KJ Osborne's the backup punt returner.
Looks like it.
I wonder what that means for his spot on the roster.
By the way, very underrated. Since I'm crapping over the special teams who actually had a good performance last night, pretty heads up play by KJ Osborne on the onside kick last night. So, you know, it's an onside kick. It's become virtually impossible in the NFL to recover an onside kick at this point, given the rules of the way they've done it. But Osborne, rather than trying to like field the grounder that was hopping, basically just guided it out of bounds. I was like, hey, there we go. That's a heads up play.
Yeah.
I like heads up plays out there on special teams.
Hey, whatever it takes, you know, you just do the smart play. Yardage doesn't really matter at this point. Just don't turn the ball over. And hey, good for him. That's Fossil.
Good stuff.
Fossil, I saw, was mad at that one. They show them on the TV broadcast. Yeah. I guess the Titans got called for, I guess, what do they call it? Like an illegal procedure. The gunner was ruled to run out of bounds on his own and not get pushed out. And Fossil was giving it to the ref, and he said, that was a bad call.
Yeah.
So let's see. Maybe the refs can go back on preseason. Watch the film on that. See what you saw.
I will say, from like the officiating standpoint, I mean, usually I was glad to see this. Like, we've gotten into the habit over the last few years in the preseason of them just really, like, hyper-focusing in on one specific rule that they're just trying to call
point
over and
emphasis.
Over and over again.
Yep.
And we didn't really see that in last night's game, so that was good. I mean, there were a lot of penalties, but it wasn't like they called 17, you know, pass interference plays or whatever it was last night. So that was good to see. I will say, though, like, I do probably need a little bit more conviction on some of these calls from the officials. There was way too much of the making a call and, hey, let's huddle up and talk about it for 3.5 minutes after it happened in the aftermath of it last night. So preseason for the officials, too.
Yeah.
Sean Hockley out there.
He looked good. I mean, they look good. Overall, I can't really complain about any of the penalties. You know, they didn't really call too much. I thought they called everything for the most part pretty fair. I can't complain about the officials in preseason. You know, give them a sec. Get back into the swing of things. I'm just glad we didn't have to deal with replacement referees this year, like it was about the offseason. Glad they just got something figured out.
Can you imagine?
So, I do not want to imagine that again. No.
It's horrific. Just absolutely horrific. But that's really all I had to complain about on the special teams front. You know, given where we were a couple of years ago with Colt Anderson leading the charge.
Fossils.
I mean, we're light years better. Fossil's a stud.
Yeah, a complete 180 for sure. And Tommy Townsend out there getting some punts off. Looked fine.
He even had one that was off the side of his foot, but it rolled enough to where it actually ended up being inside the 20, so that was good.
Yeah. Well, hopefully he won't have to be the MVP like Brett Kern was a few years back.
That'd be nice.
That'd be nice to see if we didn't have to worry about a Titans punter being the MVP.
We will get back into Cam Ward and the performance from the starting offense coming up next. Take your questions. Welcome your phone calls at 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.